really love life. And how we judge the sacred or the profane can make a difference about how we love life. In my second year at the seminary, General Theological Seminary in New York City, I was assigned to be a field placement to be the seminarian at St. John's Montclair, New Jersey, which meant living on the lower west side of New York City in the Chelsea district where the seminary is. I had to take a subway up to the Port Authority, get on a bus, and go to get to the church in New Jersey. And so it was my first sermon to preach in a church, apart from my home church as I was leaving, back when I lived in Mississippi. So I was nervous, I was excited, and I was writing this sermon. It would actually be next Sunday. It was September, the second Sunday in September. So I was in the oil business before I went to seminary, and I had my Texas Oil and Gas briefcase. And in that briefcase, I placed my precious sermon. When somebody says precious sermon, you know I'm sort of kidding a little bit. But I take my precious sermon, and I put it in my briefcase with my prayer book, and I grab it up, and I say a little prayer. I say, it's time to go, and I go down the stairs. There's four floors, and I come out, and I come down like this, and there I catch something in my eye about 15 feet away. And I look, and it's a woman, and she's in the enclosure where the trash cans are, and she's removed the lid of a trash can, and so between us, between my eyes and hers, she has some food in her hands. And she's bringing it to her mouth and looks at me like this. I was sort of repulsed, to be honest with you. And I was a little bit in shock. And I didn't know what to do. I mean, I have this precious sermon in my bag, and I've got to go catch that subway or I'll be late. And I'm looking at her, and she's looking at me. And I just couldn't really break eye contact. And she said, "What are you looking at? Get your eyes off me. I know your kind. You're one of those God boys across the street." And she pointed at the seminary. And she says to me, "You don't know God. And God don't know you. Now go get about your business." Well, I still feel that shaking right now, that trembling, that sense of, what have I encountered? I was both in traditional, language, I was grossed out. But at some level, I was also touched. I was caught in between being a little angry with this person, but also feeling something about myself and how this sermon suddenly seemed a little bit irrelevant to me. And so I had to go to church. So I went, got on the subway, got on the bus, got to St. John's, and the priest, Pat Close, looked at me and said, "Mary, you look a little funky this morning. Are you okay?" I said, "No. No, I'm not okay." But I think I went ahead and read that sermon that I wrote. But it was really difficult for me. I think about sacred and profane. That's what the story is about in Jesus. And this is what that story I just told you is about. What was sacred and precious to me became a moment of having to look in the mirror and saying, "Who are you, Meryl? What do you care about in life, and what do you see? What did you see in that woman's eyes?" Jesus was always under pressure from the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. They wanted to humiliate Jesus. "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And understand, defilement. Defilement is absorbing impurity or pollution. It would have been very easy for me, with my precious sermon in my briefcase, to have said, "This woman is defiled and is profane." Unwashed hands are seen as indifference to the grace of God, to the holiness of God. callous, a lack of respect. In their own reckoning, the Pharisees saw themselves as the sacred, and the unfaithful Galileans, including Jesus and his friends, the profane. Jesus kept the commandments, but was appalled by this harsh rebuke from the Pharisees and the scribes. Jesus knew the real life of a peasant person in the Galilee. He was one of them. Here is what we need to notice, and in their book, The Social Science Commentary of the Gospels, Bruce Molina and Richard Rohrbaugh tell us about that life. Keeping purity laws was a near impossibility for peasant farmers who may not have had the required water for ritual baths at the right time of day, or would not be able to postpone plowing or planting after rain fell in order to meet their requirements. Like fishermen, farmers also came in constant contact with dead flesh, dead animals, and the like. It was also exceedingly difficult for people who traveled around, such as Jesus and his disciples, to maintain daily purity. Jesus took all of this to heart. Jesus lashed back out at the Pharisees. Those were the men who had the leisure and the resources to keep the tradition of the elders without much difficulty. Jesus looked at them and did not see burden bearers, but burden creators. Jesus was, to say the least, a bearer of burdens, a bearer of burdens, a bearer of our burdens. Jesus wanted to free people to live good and healthy lives. And he represented a whole new view of life, a whole new view of life in God. He called it the kingdom of God or the reign of God. And in the reign of God, there are no first class, second class, third class, fourth class citizens. None of that. When Jesus is preaching and teaching and healing, he is doing this for the sake of human freedom and hope and salvation in this life and in the next. That even the least of these, as he called people, the least of these, the downtrodden and the sick and the homeless and hopeless, that they could even say, I want to love life, not just barely survive. If our eyes, our hearts are open, we realize that there are families and individuals where the parents and or guardians are constantly working day and night to offer a healthy and hopeful future for their children. And they're barely getting by. For many, nothing comes easy. I think about that lady in the outdoor garbage who was metamorphosed in an instant from a pathetic figure in my sight to an unlikely prophet. Maybe I didn't deserve such an intense rebuke for making eye contact with her, but she told me the truth. I was looking at her with my sermon in hand, my sacred sermon and my sacred vocation, and she was profane and dirty and foul. And I was the one who needed to learn something about myself and to change for the better, to see her for who she is, a child of God, a sacred child of God. I needed to, in the classic religious language, to repent. Jesus called the crowd again and said to them, listen to me, all of you, and understand there's nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. Indeed, the moral challenge of our day and time, as it was in Christ's time, is what comes out of us. It's about how we treat one another, how we let one another down. The extremes and hurtful behavior are heartbreaking. We, the people, need help. Help from God. But our weaknesses, do not define us. God defines us and invites us into his wise and caring and empowering vision of the kingdom. where we can repent, where we can see the world around us through a different lens and expand our hearts and minds with the love of Jesus, the human face and beating heart of God. Jesus, who long ago gave himself up for us, defining us as worthy of his love, worthy of the cross he bore, and inspiring us to love with an abandon in this one life we get. That kind of faith and trust in God generally eludes me. But sometimes, when I least expect it, my heart takes a leap. And I know from the inside out that I want to love life. I realize I'm not so sacred and I'm not so profane. I'm both. What I really want for myself is what I want for all of us, all 8+ billion of us. I want to love this one life that's been given, and I want that for everyone. I want that for that lady outside my apartment in New York, for us Pharisees, for those suffering around the world, for the misunderstood, for all everywhere. This is a childish daydream for the world, as they say, pie in the sky. But when Jesus preaches and heals us and feeds us with his own body and forgives us and sends us out into the world in love, I get caught up in that love, that stupendous love. And I know for just in those moments, I'm a bit less anxious. Just a bit less anxious, a little less judgmental, and don't feel a need to label someone as sacred or profane, but just to live and love the life I've been given. You might say to bathe in gratitude. Several years ago, a good friend of mine named Kevin Russell, we wrote a song based on the book of Genesis. And it's the story we're referring to, there's two stories in this song. The first is the 6 days creation, and on that day, that sixth day, God gave authority, dominion, over the flora and the fauna, over everything. And that picture of dominion is really, it was intended to be that the humanity would be a blessing to the animals and the land. The text said, fill the earth and subdue it. This was a gift of grace from God. The humans were to represent God for the goodness and well-being of all creation. The song we wrote is a bit of a protest about that, because humanity, as you know, we've made a mess of the world. I think of massive amount of trash on land and in the sea, the extinction and near extinction of almost 70% of animal life around the world, the raging anger of people striving against one another. So we added a second verse to the song. It was about the Cain and Abel story, where Cain murdered his little brother. These were the children of Adam and Eve. Cain murdered his little brother because he was jealous about God enjoying Abel's gift more than his. Just vicious kind of thing. And so it was Adam and Eve's sin led to violence and murder. So this is a song about, do you really want to love life? And it goes like this. Does the Bible say, subdue and master, we're crucifying the earth faster and faster, so who are we to be so proud? Who are we to rage so loud? Let's humble ourselves, dip down low. Let's humble ourselves, body and soul. Can you say amen? Amen. Can you sing amen? Amen. Because if you really love life, you just gotta love it. If you really love life, you just gotta love it. Did the Bible say I am my brother's keeper? There's blood in the earth sinking deeper and deeper. So who am I to be so proud? Who are we to rage so loud? Let's humble ourselves, dip down low. Let's humble ourselves, body and soul. Okay, now you're going to sing with me. You're going to sing the amen. We're going to do this a few times. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can you sing amen?
Amen.
Because if you really love life, you just got to love it. Let's repeat now. If you really love life, sing out. You just gotta love it. If you really love life, you just gotta love it. If you really love life, you just gotta love it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can you sing amen?